Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mike McGurk, and I'm in the room with none other, the one, the only, Brady Hicks.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new edition of In the Room, right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network, vocnation.com, and thebradyhicks.com. I am Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks. I'm set for another fun-filled, action-packed, blah, 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 another 2 hours of all the wrestling you can shake a stick at. Joining me on the air, before we dispense with the interview, which you guys don't even know about, but joining me on the air right now, I have Ray, my faithful sidekick. Ray, you're making me nervous there, kind of creeping in just as the show's starting.
Well, you see, I did arrive at the VOC Western Studios a little bit late. You see, I was busy listening to some self-titled albums, and so that was a little more important than getting to the show early.
Fair enough. And from our Midwestern branch, we have Wayne is back on the show. What's up, Wayne?
Not much, guys. Just hanging in here.
Hey, look at that, Brady. Derek left and we found another black guy.
He's not black.
But he sounds black, and that's good enough for us.
VOC Radio. If you want to call in, talk to us here tonight. That's 855-862-7234. This is In the Room, as I said, on the VOC Nation Radio Network. My VOC Nation Radio Network, or at least it will be tomorrow, when the voice of choice, Bruce Wirt, retires from an on-air role, and this all becomes mine. It's so hard to believe. I mean, it was under a year ago, guys, that I agreed to be a part of the network, and here we are.
Well, you know, Brady, that's because you're a mover and a shaker, and you bring shows with huge international ratings, like In the Room.
Sure. Sure. And speaking of movers and shakers, guys, I did line up a special guest for tonight for a couple minutes. I hope you don't mind. She'll be on here very shortly. The newest entrant in the ECWA Super 8 Chick fight, Gabby Gilbert.
Really,
former Roxy Cotton.
This is the girl who's in the Super 8 because we injured the girl from last week, correct?
I know. Do you believe that?
Well, it is, Brady. It's you and I kill momentum. You and I can single-handedly kill anyone's momentum. Can you
imagine? That's why they don't put this on their resume when they come on the show. Sorry, Wayne.
Hey, that's fine.
I think it's fine. I don't need a resume.
I don't think Wayne has ever in his life actually applied for a job. I think he just shows up places and he's like, yeah, I'm Wayne, I'm here.
Stop.
And then he goes. And people just pay him to show up.
I wish it was that easy. Damn.
So anyway, that's what we're looking at. Have you guys heard of this Roxy Cotton? I'm hoping that we don't injure her. Because Jessie Kay, that was very unfortunate that she suffered a knee injury the morning after our interview, or maybe it was that night, like Ray said, you know, but whatever the case may be, her replacement is graciously on the chair tonight.
At her own risk.
You think we should have him sign up this year?
Like, we should, I think at this point, if she is able to make it into the Super 8, I say that because there's a very good chance that, okay, we've already taken someone out. Like, there's a good chance that we just make it worse. Like there's a good chance this poor girl wakes up dead tomorrow. How'd she die? Well, she went out in the room, and then she died. The end. So, like, if she makes it to the Super 8, I think she starts getting billed as the Evel Knievel of women's wrestling. She made it through our show.
In the room where careers go to die. Careers go to die. Just ask AJ Styles, right? Two-time guest. Wonder what he's up to. Now, I guess he's a survivor. You know, if he made it out of TNA, he's a survivor.
And he made it out of TNA to go work in Japan.
Sure.
Ain't he working for Jeff Jarrett?
I don't know. I mean, Wayne, do you have an inside on that? I have no idea what Jeff Jarrett's roster.
No, I was just asking that because I know Jarrett's got that global network. We're working with Japan. I don't know if he's signed with them, if he signed with Japan, period.
I would guess. I'm sorry, Ray, go ahead.
Speaking of Jeff Jarrett's global network, what network do you think has more satisfied customers at this point, Jeff Jarrett's global network or the WWE network?
Yeah, WWE network, of course.
I think there's a chance that it might be the other one.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you dissatisfied with the WWE network, Ray?
Well, I did not re-up my subscription.
Okay. So you're very satisfied with what you're saying.
I said I have better things I can spend this $10 on a month.
You know what? I can get behind that. I can. Now, I chose to continue my subscription, but I can understand that because they haven't really, other than the Monday Night War show, they really haven't created all that original programming that they promised. There's just specials here.
Don't give a shit about the original programming.
And honestly, I'm not condoning this. I'm not even saying that it's possible. But, Wayne, I would assume that you can go on YouTube or some sort of BitTorrent site and find most of what WWE is offering on the network anyway.
You probably can for a short period of time. But
yeah.
Vince is putting a real close eye on that. He's watching that very closely.
Well, that's true. I also wanted to throw this out there. And, Ray, I know you're going to appreciate this. I was going to save it for later in the show, but, you know, while we're waiting for the guest, it just seems like perfect timing. But, Ray, your pet rat, he did something right this week. He did something, like, certifiably right. I love it. I hope he continues to do it. Ratboy contacted me the other day, about a week ago. I guess it was last Wednesday, and he says, you need to get in touch with this guy. He can go on your show. And I'm like, all right. And he gives me a number. And I'm like, Ratboy, who is this? It's a guy I never heard of. You know, I'm like, who is this guy? Why do I want to have him on my show? Ratboy said he used to be in TNA. I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, He's from the Wikipedia page. He's one of the guys on the Wikipedia page. So I said, how'd you get his number, Ratboy? And he said, well, I'm his Facebook friend, and he has his number on there. I said, all right, Ratboy, would you do me a huge favor? Would you pursue this for me? Would you ask this guy, this TNA alumni, if he would like to come on in the room as a TNA alumni, whose name I never heard before? So Ratboy's pursuing that, Ray. This was all Ratboy's idea, and he also inspired me. If you are a former TNA star, if you're listed on that Wikipedia page, I welcome you to come on in the room. I think it'll be fantastic, right? I'm going to reach out to every single name I can find from that Wikipedia that has a Facebook page. Any active, inactive, out of shape, whatever the case may be. If you're a former star of TNA, I want you to come on the show. That's what the Rat Boy did, right?
You're not going to believe this.
Okay.
But I think that is a fabulous idea.
It is.
Just think. Okay, do you remember how last week I told you that any show where you and I host should open up with Smokey Robinson's Tears of a Clown?
Yeah.
Think about the month after month after month long trail of tears that we could begin by having having TNA alumnus after TNA alumnus.
I love the fact that you could go on thebradyhicks.com because you can sort through these interviews, you know, based on what company they were with. And this is going to throw it all kinds of out of whack if we start to get these people on the show. Because you're going to have a very difficult time finding AJ Styles or Crimson or Samoa Joe or whoever else we've had. I don't even remember who we've had on. But, you know, you are going to find these names. And I love it. I love that idea. There have been so many names from TNA's rich past.
So many bad names, too.
Capital
O. Oh, my God.
Bad. Yeah. It'll be fun. But anyway.
Having these interviews, we're going to have to start by asking, so, did you actually know any wrestling moves? Or did you just sort of go in there and have Jeff Jarrett say, wing it. Just wing it.
You got to do the Jeff Jarrett accent if you're going to do that.
I can't do the Jeff Jarrett accent.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. And by the way, guys, if you want to contribute to this conversation, we're talking about TNA's rich past, some of the greater names that have ever come through the company, 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234, toll-free. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. And, guys, right now, I can't put this off any longer because we have a very special guest on the line, a featured competitor in this Saturday's Super 8 Chick Fight Tournament at Carney's Point, New Jersey. Joining us on the line, guys, the former Roxy Cotton, we have Gabby Gilbert. And Gabby, right off the bat, I want to tell you, we didn't injure Jesse Kay. I don't think we did. I mean, she came on last week. And she ain't here no more, but I don't think it was us. Hey, Gabby, you there?
Hi.
Hello,
hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
What's
oh
going
God.
On?
She sounds so happy. Please don't get hurt like our last guest.
I know.
I'm happy to be here. Like, this why did the last guest not seem happy? Why did they didn't seem happy?
Well, we interviewed her, and the next day she got hurt. And now she can't compete. So we probably did
well,
it.
Well, don't put any juju on me with that. Do I got to, like, knock on wood or something?
Well, I'm hoping it wasn't us. I don't see how it could have been. It just, the timing was terrible.
No, it was us.
Did you do, like,
but anyway.
Like some Nancy Kerrigan stuff and, like hit her with a bat or something and then the knee?
Well, sort of.
I didn't do it. I personally,
like,
did not attack her to, like, get her spot in the tournament. I'm just putting that out there right now. And I am not saying
no.
I beat anybody.
Oh, no, 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 no. No offense, it was you. You see, like no, it's just that coming on the show. Just have to remember something. Coming on the show is, like, it's sort of the equivalent of getting in your car and driving about 1,000 miles an hour into a brick wall. So occasionally an injury happens. But it's good to have you here.
Right. You're like, I won't get hurt, but my car is going to get wrecked is what you're saying.
I sure hope your car's in one piece.
It's better than the analogy I would have used, which is to take your car and drive it into your garage and close the door and just kind of sit there and wait. I'm kidding, of course. Let's get on to the task at hand here. This Saturday, Gabby, you're going to be in the Elite Eight. You're replacing Jessie K now. How excited were you to get the news that you're going to be in this first Women's Super 8 tournament?
Okay, so it's kind of like bittersweet because I'm really excited that I'm in it. Kind of sucks that someone had to get hurt for me to be in it. Should have been first choice anyway. But, I mean, hey, like, you know, people get hurt. Nothing to do with me. I didn't pay anybody to hurt anybody. And so you guys can't accuse me of that later or anything. But I'm just saying. But, hey, I'm excited to be in it. It's always the first one. And then it's like, oh, yeah, she didn't even know she's going to win it. And then I'm totally going to win because I'm awesome. So that's going to be fun.
Well, were you surprised to get the call? Because we thought the field of eight was set. And I was surprised you weren't in the first set of eight anyway, just because you're such a big name locally here in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, thanks. At least one person thinks that. I'm excited.
So, okay, well, you know, if I'm to look at this field of eight here, I'm just going to read some of the names. And, of course, we know the legacy of the Super 8 and what it's done for a lot of the men that have competed in it over the years. But we've got Renee Michel, Annie Social, Jenny Rose, Tessa Blanchard, who's the daughter of Tully, Chastity Ann Taylor, Tara Calloway, Tina San Antonio, and now, number 8, Gabby Gilbert. I mean, is there anybody...
Wait, why am I going to be number 8? Why am I going to be number 8? Can I be, like, number 1 or something? Like, just because the interview didn't last, do I have to be spoken last? Like, can I just be the number 1?
It's called building suspense. The champion always comes out last.
No. Brandy, how much you couldn't be number 1?
Does it mean, like, you're saving the best for last or something?
That's what I'm saying.
That must be it. Brandy, how dare you imply that she is going to finish 8th in the Super 8 tournament? And she is gracious enough to come on this show.
Last minute, by the way.
Even though she will probably get hurt.
I'm just going to kick a bunch of girls in the face and then hope to win. I'm like, yeah. They're also, like, awesome competitors. But I feel like I'm going to try my hardest to win. And so that's cool. It's going to happen. I mean, I may or may not have beat up Jessie K to get the spot. But I'm in it, so it doesn't matter. So,
I'm here to win.
What?
You're such a cheery person. There wasn't even a little
so
part of you. But you weren't. There wasn't
to
even
be
a little part.
You want me to be bitter?
Well, no. It's
you
just like there wasn't.
Bitter?
You're telling me there wasn't like a little part of you that was like, good. I'm glad she's hurt. That way I could be in. Not even like a little bit.
Is that I may or may not have done that, I'm glad that everybody gets hurt, so then like I can move up in the world. But I mean, someone's got to be healthy for me to like beat them, so I can win.
No, you just beat them on the cripples.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess that works.
So if you had your way, would we have 7 injured women, and then you could just walk right through the tournament, or?
Well, I would like to be the one that injures them to, like, during the tournament, and then I win. So that'd be fun. I could just, like, have them be injured, and, like, then it's, like, you know, I don't know. Less work for me, I guess, but not as fun.
Well, is there anybody in particular, the names that I just read, that you really want to get in the ring with, maybe kick in the face?
Pretty much all of them. I do love Annie Social, if you haven't remembered that. We used to tag, but we both know that when we're facing each other that, you know, our friendship's outside the ring, so it's all about competition. But she's awesome. But, I mean, there's all these other girls I haven't even wrestled yet, so I would totally like to wrestle them and beat them and then win. That'd be cool.
Let's talk about some of the girls that you haven't wrestled. Because there's one thing that I love about this tournament in particular is, obviously, ECWA is always bringing in a lot of, like, kind of next-generation guys and girls, you know, like the cutting edge, what's going to be the future of maybe what we'll see on TV or whatever someday, or very strong internationally or whatever the case may be. But, you know, if I'm looking at the field right now, Is there anybody in particular that you're thinking, like, man, I would just love to just get in the ring with, like a Tessa Blanchard or a Sarah Calloway or somebody?
Blanchard? Probably Blanchard.
Okay.
Because I think my dad would mark out for that, so that'd be nice.
And, Ray, I do want to point out that Tessa Blanchard was on the show a couple weeks ago. Not hurt. Not hurt.
Oh. Well, I mean, like, after Saturday, she might be hurt, though.
You know, yeah, you never know. Sometimes our show has a delayed effect on people. And that's usually the worst of all. Well, our show usually has a delayed effect. Like, you just get hurt later.
We're just, like, hurt by me because I beat everybody up in the ring. So that'd be fun.
Well, that's fine. Oh, you go hurt as many people as you want.
Only in the ring, though. I mean, as long as we...
Or out of it. You know, whichever.
Whatever. I mean, if I have to beat everybody up in the back and then get in the ring and then, like, then they're, like, hurt and then they're like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to go ahead and we're like, oops. And then I win everything. I mean, that could work too, but...
Do you have a good surprise face? If you're going to do that, like, you need a good surprise face when they say that you don't have any more competitors.
You know what? When I saw the list, I looked everybody up. And I saw a couple matches of everybody, and everybody looks like really tough competitors. But I've also noticed that some of these girls have only been wrestling for, like, a couple years. And I've been doing this for, like, 13 years now. So I think I got a little something on them. I know some tricks that they don't know.
Okay, I mean, and that is one edge that you have, I think, over a lot of these girls, is that you have that experience. But there's one girl in particular you mentioned having tagged with her, Annie Social. Is there a little bit that you're a little concerned, maybe, because she knows you so well from over the years?
She does know me well, and I know her well, but... We haven't teamed a lot recently, so, I mean, maybe she's learned something new, I learned something new. As long as she's not wearing steel-toe boots, I think I'll be all right. But I've wrestled her a few times. You know, sometimes she wins, sometimes I win, but this weekend I feel like I'm going to be winning.
Right.
You know,
go ahead, Ray.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, just bring out the steel-toed boots because you seem like a very nice girl. You're gracious enough to come on the show. I certainly would like you to win. Have you considered putting, like, a piece of rebar in your steel boot, in your boots, and then what you do is when the official is turned, you just hit your opponent with it? You know, so that could be a thing you could do.
You know, first of all, that's really heavy, and I don't, like, want to carry that around, and then I got to, like, do something, then he's going to check my purse. I'd rather just use, like, hairspray or something. You know, people, where you can't see things when you're, like, spray. Like, I don't know what's in the air. They're just crazy. Or things like that. But, I mean, like, I'm not going to put, like, where am I even going to get rebar and put it in my shoe or something? My shoes
are full, you can cut it.
We put stuff in there? I don't know.
You can cut it with a hacksaw.
And then hold it for me, and then you can, like, throw it at me later. But then I feel like you're bad. You throw it to chicks, so you might throw it, like, at me instead of the person. Instead of, like, giving it to me. So I feel like this is probably a bad idea. So maybe this is why people are getting hurt on your show, because you're giving crappy ideas.
Hey, I'm just trying to help you win.
They're saying that I need help to win?
Hey, if you can make it easier on yourself, why not? Remember, the easiest path is the best path because it takes the least work.
True. All right, I'll think about it.
Let me ask you this one, because, like I was saying, with the Super 8, it's a long, illustrious past of, you know, helping people make names for themselves. You're in a rare position, Gabby Gilbert, where you've sort of already made a name for yourself. I mean, what could you possibly have to gain? Well, you did. You did, and nobody knows you as Gabby Gilbert, or at least not as many people do, but... What could you have to gain from this tournament?
Well, a lot of people remember the name Gabby Gilbert instead of Roxy Cotton, so that'll be one. And then, like, you know, get, like, everything out of it. I want to be, like, awesome. And people are like, oh, my God, she is awesome because she won this tournament. I was like, yeah, duh.
Well, there you go. So this Saturday, October 11th, the ECWA Super 8 Chick Fight Tournament, ECWAProWrestling.com. We're also going to have a title match, Bobby Shields, Ricky Martinez, and, all right, you're going to love this, Robbie E. returning to ECWA to challenge for the one title.
Yeah! All right! Yeah!
I'm a Robbie E. fan. How about you, Gabby?
What?
I'm sorry. I said I'm a Robbie E. fan. How about you, Gabby?
I am. I like working on shows with him. He's a nice dude. Nice to look at.
Have you ever fist bumped with him?
Have I ever fist bumped with him? No, I haven't seen him in a while.
Fist bump
with him.
Okay. I'm looking for the phone number.
I knew him before he used to fist bump.
Okay. For tickets and information, where is it? 609-220-5598. And like I said, the tickets, ECWAProWrestling.com. We have Gabby Gilbert on the line, who I have no doubt is going to win this tournament on Saturday. She just got the right combination of experience and energy and excitement and coming on the show.
Talking,
they even heard me talking,
everything, and they'll just like go crazy,
and they're like, please, feed me, just so I can, they can shut up, and they can know they're ringing the bell and keep winning. It'll be awesome, you know.
Sound like the micro machine guy to me. Thanks.
No, that's great. I love your energy and your enthusiasm, Gabby. Any parting words? Tell the fans why they need to come out to Carney's Point this Saturday.
They need to come out because me and my other tag partner, Luscious Latasha, will be going to Mexico soon. So who knows how long I will be in the States for. So you better come out and see me now because you're going to miss me. So come out and see me, buy some stuff, and watch me win, and then we'll see you later.
And she's not going to club anyone in the legs?
No, maybe.
Gabby Gilbert, everybody. Thank you, Gabby. It was fun. And
thank
best
you
of luck this Saturday. ECWA Super 8 Chick Fight Tournament, ECWAProWrestling.com. Go check them out. And everyone, go find Gabby, because she's going to be awesome on Saturday.
Thanks.
Take care.
And with that said,
guys, I think let's regroup and take a commercial break right now. On the other side, I definitely want to talk about some of these TNA stars and, you know, future guests for the program and all that stuff. I apologize. I'm used to having my own producer. I'm not used to doing all this myself, but here we sit. So this is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. We'll be back on the other side. Oh, and I also wanted to talk something about The Undertaker. I heard something interesting on the network the other day. I want to talk to you guys about that. Hear it back.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9-8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today.
Hi, this is Anthony.
And this is Garcia.
We are the forces of radio.
The faces for radio.
Come relax with us every Thursday at 5:30. We love hosting Feces for Radio.
That's Faces for Radio. Can you please remember to get the name of the show right?
Sorry. We tackle sports, entertainment, and have a kick-ass soundboard. Erasers for Radio has it all.
Faces for Radio. Are you doing this on purpose?
Why?
You can find us on the VOCNation.com, listen to us live, or download it later. Follow us on Twitter at Faces for Radio 1. That's Faces for Radio.
Funky for radio. Shut up.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N-Cloud and soar above your competition.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-VOC-RADIO.
Hello, this is ECW Original, former WWE superstar, the Blue Meanie. This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize this. If you are looking to do any kind of autograph session, personal or private, with the greatest in professional wrestling, people always ask me, Blue Meanie, how can I have you on my show? Well, if you'd like to have myself, the BWO, or anybody else, you don't need to go any further than WrestlingMarks.com. Go to WrestlingMarks.com. Drop him a line, give him a call. My boy Eric will take care of you right away. Now recognize that, partner.
All right, guys, welcome back to In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, vocnation.com and dbradyhicks.com. I'm the boss, Brady Hicks. I'm a survivor. I'm here. I am the new leader of the VOC Nation, or at least I will be as of tomorrow when the Voice of Choice officially steps away from the VOC Nation, hands me the keys, wait until the heads start falling. I'm just going to be snip-snipping away. And not on this show, because we've lost enough.
Well, that's good. That's good, Brady.
I'm not actually going to snip. I'm not going to snip away.
So,
I'm going to test her more.
Well, actually, I actually have something to talk with you about that once you get kind of settled, I guess. But anyway, you said something about The Undertaker. And again,
yeah.
You know me, I love news about wrestlers who can't walk well. So, you know, sort of a great Cal Lee update, this is as good as I'm going to get.
Well, here's the thing is I'm not going to trash The Undertaker, but I heard him talking on a documentary the other day on the WWE Network. And The Undertaker mentioned who his favorite WrestleMania opponent of all time was. And I was kind of surprised by it. I was curious if you guys had any guess as to who The Undertaker most liked wrestling at WrestleMania.
Oh, hey, God, please tell me it was Giant Gonzalez.
And by the way, I do want to point out that what was recorded, I believe, was recorded prior to Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar not on that list. And no, it wasn't Giant Gonzalez. Wayne, do you have any idea who The Undertaker's all-time favorite opponent at WrestleMania was?
Hulk Hogan.
Come on.
I think it was Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Because Undertaker played the dead man, and Jimmy Snuka once killed a woman.
Both by driving their head into the mat, ironically.
No, it was probably... it was probably Shawn Michaels.
You know, I would have thought that. I really would. You know, I had two guesses, or I would have had two guesses if I didn't hear it for myself. I would have guessed either Shawn or Kane. But no, it wasn't Shawn Michaels.
Okay, now Brady, before you guess it, can I take a legitimate guess instead of being an asshole?
Sure.
All right, let's think through this.
Jimmy Snuka.
Okay.
Okay.
We've eliminated Jimmy Snuka, obviously, and you eliminated two good guesses for me. That being Kane and Shawn Michaels.
Uh-huh.
And he said. And you know, you said both of those weren't them.
Would it help if I ran down the names?
It would, so I could just kind of have them written in front of me.
Okay, sure thing. All right, so we have Jimmy Snuka, we have Giant Gonzalez, we have King Kong Bundy, Kevin Nash, Sid, Kane, Big Boss Man. 16, he missed. 17 was Triple H. 18, I believe, was Flair. 19, that was that stupid Nathan Jones handicap match where Nathan Jones got pulled, so it would have been Big Show and Albert. 20 was Kane again. 21 was Randy Orton. 22, I believe, was Mark Henry. 23, I believe, was Batista. 24 would have been Edge. No, 25 was Edge. Anyway, Edge is one of them. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, CM Punk. And I might have missed one. I think that's all of them, though.
Okay, assuming that the one you missed is not it. All right.
I could pull up the Wikipedia. I thought I could do it off the top of my head.
Okay. No, but let's just assume that the one you missed is not the one who he said. Okay? All right. We eliminate Kane, and we eliminate HBK, because you guys already said, you already said that those would have been your guests. Okay, now we eliminate the ones who are, like, obviously not it. So we eliminate Snuka.
By the way, Edge was 24. Shawn was 25 and 26. So I was right about that.
Okay, so we got them all. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like I said, now we eliminate the ones who we obviously know it isn't. So Snuka, Giant Gonzalez. He's not going to say Triple H. So we eliminate Triple H. Obviously, it wasn't the Big Show or Albert. Otherwise, at some point, he would have gotten a one-on-one against one of them.
Or a lobotomy, one of them.
Yes. Nobody has ever thought that Randy Orton was their favorite opponent. He had terrible chemistry with CM Punk. I'm going to eliminate that one. I feel like the King Kong Bundy match is probably not it. I feel like the Nash match is probably not it.
You want me to read off what you got left?
Okay, I have them written down.
Okay.
But wait, the way you laughed, it wasn't Bundy, was it?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because the way you laughed, I thought I was about to be doing this for nothing. And that wouldn't have surprised the hell out of me. All right. Let's assume I'd have seen it somewhere else just over the course of the day if it was Flair and eliminate him. We eliminate Sid because nobody has ever enjoyed fighting against Sid.
Except for Arn. That was bad.
Yeah.
I just know that you enjoyed it.
You know who else enjoyed fighting against Sid? The second turnbuckle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the microphone.
No. Well, the microphone kicked his ass, too.
We're live, pal.
All right. Next, we eliminate Batista. Because I think by that point, people were... Yeah, I think we eliminate Batista. And that leaves me with the Big Boss Man, Mark Henry, or Edge? I sort of don't think it was Henry, because I would think The Undertaker would appreciate somebody who has a move beyond smash. So we eliminate Mark Henry.
So then you're left with either Edge or that visual of the Big Boss Man hanging like a sausage from the top of the cage.
So I flip a coin.
I can't believe you're flipping a coin here. Okay.
Yeah. And I say it was Edge.
Wayne, do you have any thoughts on this?
You know, it comes down to two, actually three competitors for me. One would be Triple H, just because he can, you know, he can put, when he is in the ring, he is a general. And Undertaker's a general as well. They like taking control of the match. See them going at it for a very long time. Then another one would be, I would think, have to be Edge. Then the third one would be Randy Orton. But I would have to go back to
all very good guesses. I will go so far as to say that I believe that The Undertaker named Shawn Michaels as his runner-up. But his all-time favorite WrestleMania match, and Ray, you're not going to believe this, but Wayne was actually right. Triple H is The Undertaker's all-time WrestleMania match. In particular, that no-holds-barred match that they had at 27.
Yep.
So Triple H was his favorite match. In particular, that one that was bad that we should probably pump up. Excellent. Good to know.
Well, he did mention, I will be fair to The Undertaker, and I will say that he did mention their WrestleMania 17 match, and he said that that was a phenomenal match where they were both in much better shape, but at the time, it didn't mean as much because neither guy was quite as big as they are now. So, there you go.
I suppose.
Triple H. I would have said Shawn. And if I didn't say Shawn, I would have said Edge. And if I didn't say Edge, I would say that he was ignoring the obvious and picking CM Punk, because that match had a lot of issues, and CM Punk is the one that kept it together.
Yeah, he did.
I just found it very interesting, you know, and I don't know if it was like rah-rah, corporate WWE, Triple H, my favorite opponent of all time, or if
that's
really
exactly what it was.
You really don't
that's
think
that's exactly
me?
What it was.
I really don't think that, because Undertaker's never been accused of that, you know? He's always kind of been the guy that, like, beats to his own drum. Fiercely
right.
Loyal, but
so,
he beats to his own
TNA stars.
Yeah.
That we're going to get for the show. Do I need to bring up the computer and look at the list so we can see some of the names that we have to look forward to again?
You know what? I mean, it's worthwhile, for sure.
All right, then you and Wayne talk for about 2 minutes here while I pull that up. I don't care what you talk about.
I got the perfect thing we can talk about, the perfect introduction for this, because joining us on the line, guys, all the way from Trenton, New Jersey, we have the man that originated this idea of interviewing some of TNA's lesser-known guys. We have the one, the only, Stink Face himself, stinky, smelly, disgusting, my best friend, well, my friend, well, he's okay. I like Rat Boy. What's going on?
Where's my theme music? Where's my theme music?
I got it right here. Hold on. I got your theme music. Here we go.
Everybody
shut up. What's going on, Rap Boy?
That's right, man. Hey.
Word crimes right there. Rap Boy, as we speak, Ray Bogus is on the Wikipedia page trying to pick out the names of the past TNA wrestlers. And believe me, they're as common as you or me. Pretty much anybody that's filed taxes has a shot to have worked for TNA Wrestling at some point. But we're going to add the best ones to that list.
I know about that list last week that you said. One guy stood out, hit my head. I said, he did. I had to look at it, too. Because I know this guy personally because I had an arm wrestling contest with the guy.
Really?
Yes, because it's on YouTube.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. It's Rapley versus Z-Bar. And me and Z-Bar goes back way back.
Yeah, now Rapley, is Z-Bar going to come on the show? You were going to talk to him for us, weren't you?
Well, I think he's going to let me know sometime this week.
Well, okay,
when.
Cool. Well, hopefully
we can. Because I told him about this week, because you got SmackDown right there in Philadelphia, where the Undertaker is right now.
Yeah, and I'm missing it.
That's a shame.
I'm missing
SmackDown. That's a shame. I'll tell you what, though, Rampoy, this is a great idea. And I, for one, cannot wait until we are interviewing the Andy Gooch on this show.
Yeah, but we have to find him first. I know Z-Bar personally. He's a good friend of mine.
Well, we're going to try.
I mean, Rampoy, can you imagine the press that this show would get if we could find and interview Human Time Bomb?
I know, and that one, the first one that you said last week, Kid Crazy, he was from Boston, Massachusetts. That could have been John Cena. In a match.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I mean, just the prestige of being able to interview Miss Hollywood or Murder One. Now entering the ring, weighing in at 245 pounds, Murder One. And his manager, Murder She Wrote.
I can tell Wayne's getting excited about this.
He should be.
Who was you doing this? I probably got them as Facebook friends. I got to find out who is.
I mean, Brady, one day we could be interviewing a wrestler whose real name is unknown and whose ring name is only Sebastian. Sebastian. Oh, that's just Sebastian. He's a wrestler and a weightlifter. Oh, my God.
Gabby Gilbert. You sound like Gabby Gilbert there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but there's one person that he didn't mention. She should have been on top. Because she only done one show with TNA.
Uh-huh.
China.
Right. So, Ratboy, I need you to track down the real name unknown. Ring name, Thomas T. Stenenbaum.
How do you spell that?
S-T-E-N-E-N-B-A-U-M.
Well, wouldn't you know it, there is no entry on Facebook for Thomas T. Tenenbaum.
Damn it! I want to Google search him.
We're gonna find all these guys. We're going to do it. It's going to be incredible. We'll have a month of TNA.
It's going to be hard. I found one.
We'll get them. We'll get there. You know, because when 6 Feet Under is on the show, it'll make it all worthwhile.
That means you have to find China so we can get China on there because she's on that.
Holy shit, Rat Boy, what a shitty idea. Why did you follow up your great idea with such a terrible one?
Because I want to interview China.
Fine, you interview China. Here, let me do the China interview for you. You ready? Hey, China.
Hey, Rat Boy.
China,
no,
how's that porn career going for you?
It's going terribly. No one wants to see me naked.
Oh,
no, can I do
man,
it?
That
I'll do China. I'll do China.
Okay, that's
you,
fine.
You be Rat Boy.
That's
China.
Fine. That's
I'll be
fine.
Rat Boy. I'll be China.
Here, you ready? Fine, I'll be Rat Boy. Do I need to do the Rat Boy accent?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
You ready?
I didn't believe in that. That's how we call it. Rat Boy, before we let you go, your thoughts on our friend, the voice of choice, Bruce Wirt, stepping down after 5.5 years at the helm tomorrow on the VOC Wrestling Nation.
Oh, man. Don't worry, you still got me. I'm still here. That means...
That's a good consolation prize.
Wait a minute. That means that I'm the one. The VOC Wrestling Rat Nation is going to take over. Because
there we go.
I'm the longest running VOC personality.
You know what, at this point, I don't know that I could argue with him about that.
That's right.
Because you literally are on every show. Like any show. Like if I ran a show at 3 o'clock in the morning, you would call in. If I ran a show 5 hours later, you would call in.
And that means you're the new boss, Brady, and guess what? I got a good show for you. It'll be coming up maybe in a couple months. Judge Rat. You're calling him
Judge Rat.
And he's calling for all your complaints.
That could be better. That could be better than reading between the lines with Rat Boy.
All right. Brady.
Judge
I
Rat.
Have breaking Thomas T. Stenenbaum news.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Thanks
so
for calling
I found an entry. I found an entry on Online World of Wrestling from February 4th, 2004.
Okay.
On a TNA weekly pay-per-view aired live from Nashville, Tennessee. Thomas T. Stenenbaum announced the NWA Board of Directors is officially disbanding tonight. He then ordered all NWA loyal wrestlers to respect and obey the new TNA management. Now it gets better.
Okay.
Following week, we get a letter was posted on NWATNA.com.
I forgot about NWATNA.com.
Quote, from the law offices of Stenenbaum, to the fans and viewers of TNA, Total Nonstop Action. As the legal representation of NWA World Heavyweight Champion Jeff Jarrett, I, Tom T. Stenenbaum, attorney, wish to inform all parties that Mike Tenay was terminated from not only his announcing duties, but as an employee of TNA after Wednesday night's America's X Cup pay-per-view.
Okay.
So this dude was an attorney for him. You know, like Lionel Hutz.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think we could get
there
him.
There we go.
Did you Google Tannenbaum, and Tannenbaum? We could probably find him.
Oh, it's Stenenbaum. Not Tannenbaum.
That's
a Christmas tree. The law of just of Christmas tree, and Christmas tree. All right, if I Google that, oh, I get Dr. Noel S. Tannenbaum, M.D., Palm Harbor plastic surgeon.
Well,
I don't think that's who I want.
We have a phone call. Let's take the call. I have area code 217. That's Illinois, I believe. What's going on? Who's on the line? This is In the Room.
This is the human hate machine, Gavin Alexander.
The human hate machine?
Who the hell are you?
Is he on the list?
I was actually here to listen to Miss Gabby Gilbert.
Oh, okay. I was hoping the human hate machine. I got to mute Wayne because he's having a problem with his phone. I was really hoping that the human hate machine was going to be on that TNA alumni list. I was really hoping that.
Damn it. That would have been awesome.
Sweet.
Anyway, what's
yeah.
going on, hate?
Well, you know what, hate? I got to tell you.
I am here in support of Miss Gabby Gilbert.
Well, of course you are. We had her on at about 10 after, so... as soon as the show goes up on archive, you'll be able to catch that. We had her off right at the top of the show. The show will go to archive at 11 o'clock when we go off the air, so you'll be able to download that and listen to that on vocnation.com or dbradyhicks.com. Sorry about
that. Fair enough. I'm just saying I know that woman is one of the most determined women on the indie scene, and I have a feeling she's going to take the tournament.
You know, I got that feeling, too. I mean, she has the experience, which a lot of those girls don't. And she has the excitement factor turned way up. I mean, even tonight, like, I was having a hard time keeping up with her. It's like, blah, 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 blah. But, like, she's on top of it, man. She's on top of it.
Gabby's
no doubt.
Fierce.
No doubt.
Gabby is a fierce competitor, and I have a feeling that she will take the tournament.
Now, how
I
do you
think
know?
My only my only problem with her was that every time I recommended that she cheat, she would say no, and that sort of saddened me. But hey, good luck to her.
Hey, I see it like this. Hey, I see it like this: cheat to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, I mean, Gabby Gilbert is like a Pennsylvania area, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. How did you come to be familiar with her?
I'm actually an indie worker from the state of Illinois, and I had gotten acquainted with her years back through social media and have, you know, talked to her, and I was showing my support this evening.
Gotcha. Well, you know, thank you for calling in. And like I said, that interview, which I thought it was fantastic, it's 15, 20 minutes long or so. It will be available for download on the show at 11 o'clock. So thanks a lot, Mr.
Yeah.
Hate Machine. Best of luck.
Gavin, just call me Gavin.
Okay. We love the Hate Machine, though. That's awesome. How do you come
all
up
right,
with a name
well,
like
thank...
How do you arrive
well,
at, like, I'm going to be the Hate Machine?
Well... when you live in basically the hell of central Illinois and you see everything and all the destruction and violence and everything, you have to build yourself up to protect yourself from such abominations. So I became a hate machine.
Fair enough. Thanks for calling in.
I mean, look up Decatur, Illinois. It's a horrible place.
I'm going to Google images it right now. Ray, do you know Decatur?
I do know Decatur, and he's right. It's hell. All of Illinois is hell.
Well, but you know what? A pretty picture of a gazebo came up.
That's right.
Well,
you know who lives in that gazebo? Meth addicts.
Oh, trust me. This town, if I had my way, I would take everything bad in this town and get rid of it. But I was calling in to show my support for Miss Gabby Gilbert. I apologize for bothering you gentlemen.
You're not bothered, sir. Thank you so much for calling in. It was fun, and I was distracted looking at pictures of beautiful Decatur. It looks kind of like trendy.
Yeah, Decatur's not beautiful. Decatur is what I would consider the cesspool of Illinois.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, thank you for calling in. We do have to take a commercial break now, but like I said, the Gabby Gilbert interview for you to show your support will be available for download on the sites at 11 o'clock.
All right, thank you very much.
Take care, sir. And good luck with everything on the independent scene. I know how hard it is to make a living as a wrestler. Ray, Wayne, I still have Wayne muted. Okay, sorry about that. I actually just sneezed there. I'm listening to the Hate Machine talk, and I wrote down three names, and I want you guys to tell me which one he sounded the most like. Okay, the first name I wrote down was Tom Baudet. Do you remember the old Motel 6 commercials?
Yeah.
That's what I was picturing. Like, I'm Tom Baudet, and I'll leave the light on for you.
They did sound like him a little. Now come to think about it.
The second one I wrote down was Andrew Luck. I think he sounds like Andrew Luck, right? Okay. And the third one I wrote down was the distorted voice of a serial killer on all those documentaries where they interview the serial killer.
Yes, that one sounds more accurate.
In other words, Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Okay. Or, you know what, it could have also been a voice simulation because he didn't even sound real. But I will tell you what, let's take a commercial break right now. On the other side, we'll be back. We'll talk some more of TNA's illustrious past. Some of the names we're going to get on the show in the next couple weeks. And I'm sure some other stuff will pop up. 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. Toll free. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. We'll see you on the other side.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today.
Hi, this is Anthony.
And this is Gartee.
We are the forces of radio.
The faces for radio.
Come relax with us every Thursday at 5:30. We love hosting Feces for Radio.
That's Faces for Radio. Can you please remember to get the name of the show right?
Sorry. We tackle sports, entertainment, and have a kick-ass soundboard. Erasers for Radio has it all.
Faces for Radio. Are you doing this on purpose?
Why?
You can find us on the VOCNation.com, listen to us live, or download it later. Follow us on Twitter at Faces for Radio 1. That's Faces for Radio.
Funky for radio.
Shut up.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Truth at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the end cloud and soar above your competition.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by Netcarrier. tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-BOC-RADIO.
Hello, this is ECW Original, former WWE superstar, the Blue Meanie. This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize this. If you are looking to do any kind of autograph session, personal or private, with the greatest in professional wrestling, people always ask me, Blue Meanie, how can I have you on my show? Well, if you'd like to have myself, the BWO, or anybody else, you don't need to go any further than WrestlingMarks.com. Just go to WrestlingMarks.com. Drop him a line, give him a call. My boy Eric will take care of you right away. Now recognize that, partner.
All right, guys, welcome back to In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com and TheBradyHicks.com. I am Brady Hicks. With me, I have Ray and Wayne, and we have a very special guest, guys, a voice from the past. We're going to bring him on right now.
Wow.
One of our favorite legends of In the Room. I don't have the legends music anymore. I used to have the WWE Legends music. How about Fat Girl? Can I play Fat Girl?
No.
Okay, Derek McDonald, back on the line, back on In the Room. Derek, fresh off another awesome Raw, right? I mean, I'm so happy for you, Derek. It's like whenever you go to Raw, it's like I just know not to bother watching it.
You know what? First of all, thank you for having me back. I was sitting there, and I took my son, and he's 8. He's supposed to love wrestling, and halfway through the show, he goes, Dad, this sucks. And I felt so bad because they're ruining wrestling for my son. It's terrible. Even the El Torito stuff, and I love El Torito. He's one of my favorite guys on the roster. Even that was hard to watch. And The Rock came out and he kind of gave a little surge, but then it went right back down the drain again. But yeah, it's not as bad as Raw's past, but it was pretty bad.
I gotta say, and WWE's in town in Philly tonight for SmackDown. I didn't get to go. I had a bunch of stuff going on, but Kathy's here right now. And today on local radio, they actually interviewed Seth Rollins on one of the shows. And I was so disappointed because how do you have Seth Rollins on the air for 45 minutes and not ask him about the dildo in his briefcase? I feel like that's an opportunity squandered right there.
Do you think he would
cash it in and then like look horrified and try to get it back? But you can't take it out because you're in front of the crowd. Do you think what do you think you would do? You think you would just hand it in with the dildo?
Well, if it's a dildo, shouldn't he cash it in on the butterfly title? Like, shouldn't that be the one he uses to cash it in on?
Yes.
That's scary. Yeah.
Can we rename it? By the way, can we rename that title? I think it's time we rename the Divas title. And when it first came out, PWI's Mike Bessler and I were making fun of it, and we called it the Lil Brats title. And I think that's what we should call it. Up.
Why?
Someone broke containment again.
What is that?
Well, that's Wayne.
Is that the Ebola monkey? Wayne, I'm gonna.
What are you saying?
Sounds like this. You know what that sounds like? Okay, do either? Because you guys are both the right age for this. Do you guys remember the video game Ape Escape?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. Do you remember when you first go into a level and that siren is playing? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. That's what I'm on right now.
Wayne, is the ape okay?
Yeah, it was just my wife texting me.
Okay.
Is it the... Okay. See, I was hoping it was the face-eating chimp.
No.
Okay.
Thanks.
That's my fault, guys. I apologize about that.
That's okay.
Well, that's fine.
That's okay.
Hey, we always love it. We can reference an Ape Escape. We can reference Ape Escape on this show. It's a good night. But you know what it's not
That's
a good
right.
night for, Derek? You know what it's not a good night for? Those of us who aren't busy sucking Derek Cedar's dong.
What?
Like, all right,
Jesus.
This Friday, here's the thing, Derek. This Friday, there is a game one of the ALCS between the Kansas City
yeah.
Royals and the Baltimore Orioles. And by
yeah.
the way, isn't that the ALCS Bud Selig was pulling for?
You know what? I was rooting for the Orioles. That's funny.
Now, here's the thing. I am all in. As a very big White Sox fan, I have chosen to support the team from the AL Central not named the Detroit Tigers. And I am all in on this Kansas City Royals bandwagon for the duration of the postseason. And then, you know, this spring I'll go back to liking the White Sox and being bitter about everything. But this Friday, the American League Championship Series starts. And as I understand it, before that, there will actually be a Derek Jeter ceremony.
Oh, God. I wouldn't be surprised.
I know. You don't know if I'm making
look,
that up or not.
I don't know. And here's the thing. I don't mean to go on a tangent because I'm a Mets fan. I'll be labeled an angry Mets fan. But for a guy who's applauded his whole career for doing things the right way and straying away from the spotlight, they spent a whole baseball season giving this guy fucking presents. Dumb presents at that. They gave the guy a sandcastle. I don't know what the hell he's going to do with a sandcastle, but they gave him a sandcastle. I'm so sick and goddamn tired of Derek Jeter. I don't know what to do. And then I go to Raw last night thinking I'm going to get away from this crap, and then the Rock is chanting freaking Derek Jeter's name. I don't want to say I hate Derek Jeter, because hate is a strong word. But if he just goes away, and he spells his name wrong, but that's an entirely different thing. But if he just goes away forever, I'll be okay.
Here's the thing, and Derek, I'm in the same position as you, because I have spent a lot of the season saying, hey, you know that Canerco guy? He's also retiring this year. sort of a deal. And I have been labeled a bitter White Sox fan for saying this, a bitter, jealous White Sox fan. Here's the thing. It's easy. Derek Jeter gave us a lot more postseason memories than Paul Konerko did. Yeah, well, you know what? The guy who owned the team Derek Jeter was on was buying him a lot more opportunities at that. So,
yes.
You know what? I'm pretty sure if I got to play in, like, what was it, like 20 postseasons?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, all his postseason games equaled one major league season.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure I could accidentally find my way into some hits too.
Exactly, especially when you got all those stars and steroid users around you. It's kind of easy to drive and run.
Who bats around you, Derek? Well, Bernie Williams and Alex Rodriguez and Jason Chiappi.
Yeah.
And who's pitching for you?
Steroid up Roger Clemens on the mound.
Yeah, let's put the balloon, man, Roger Clemens, up there.
And we're going to give you the greatest closer of all time to make sure you never lose a close game.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, just to make sure that we have extra runs, every time anyone who ever gets a meaningful hit in a postseason game against us becomes available, we are immediately going to pay 10 times what anyone else will.
We're going to buy you to come play with us, yeah. It's like when you're little and you beat the big kids on the playground, and the next time you come to the playground, the big kids pick you. That's exactly what it is.
It is. Yeah, and look, I mean, do I think that Canerco's had the career that Jeter has? No. I mean, yes, I'm a White Sox fan, and I loved Canerco's career. He's the face of a World Series championship for an entire generation of Sox fans like me. But I'm also realistic. Like, I get it. Jeter had the better career. But come on, dude, put it in perspective.
Go away.
The game is bigger than Derek Jeter. You know what? Next spring, games are going to be played, hits are going to be gotten, balls are going to be caught, and you know what? We're going to move on.
But isn't Derek Jeter still bigger than the game itself, though? Like, in reality? I mean, like, is baseball that big of a deal without him?
Yes!
Okay.
When's the last... Okay, realistically, Brady.
By the way, let me qualify that by saying I don't give a crap about baseball at all. So, like, none of it matters, you know?
Here's the thing, Brady. Like, how pervasive is Derek Jeter in advertising and in culture? Like, in all honesty. He's not.
I'm sorry, say that again?
How often are you just out and about and you bump into a picture of Derek Jeter somewhere or, like, an endorsement of a product from Derek Jeter somewhere? You just don't. You don't see it all over the place. Garrett
might
see it a little bit more because he lives in New York, but you just, it's this deep, pervasive thing.
And to be honest, I didn't see a lot of Derek Jeter stuff in the past couple years till this year. Like, until he announced his retirement, then he's all over the damn city. But leading up to that, I didn't see him at all. It was all Eli Manning, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's the guy I want endorsing my product.
The less talented and less charismatic of the Manning brothers.
And also somehow uglier.
While we're talking baseball, I just want to say congratulations to Peyton Kershaw or Clayton Manning. Whatever you want to call him, pitcher for the Dodgers, great job on choking again in the postseason, buddy. You pulled a regular number 18.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. Now I have to suffer through yet another series with the St. Louis Cardinals, America's most insufferable fan base, bar none.
I hate the Cardinals. And they do this every year, and every year I don't pick them.
Actually, I know a guy who lives in San Francisco, he actually got a message from him today, and right after the Cardinals advanced, and it said, the Cardinals have advanced, the traditional stepping stone for the Giants. So, you know, that was nice to see. Oh, that's another, like, I can't stand the Giants, but Derek, you know, you live in New York, so you live in New York, so you have access to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the most irritating fan bases in sports on a daily basis.
Yes.
You have access to 7 of them. But have you ever come into any fan base more irritating than the St. Louis Cardinals?
No, and I don't know if it's like the little brothers. And this is coming. I live in New York with Jet fans, and just imagine what I've been going through the past couple of years, especially this year. But Cardinals fans are like, I don't know if they had like the little brother syndrome, and now they're starting to win stuff. It's like, yeah, look at me. But yeah, they're insufferable. I don't even talk to Cardinals fans. I try not to.
Oh, here's the thing. You can probably avoid them. Like, I can't. I can't. And sometimes they want to talk to me because, like, I hate the Cubs, and they also hate the Cubs. And I have to keep it. No, I hate you people, too. We're the greatest fan base in the world. You're not even the best damn fan base in St. Louis. Shut the hell up.
That's right, Ray. You took it to heart. Yeah, I can't stand Carter. While we're on the bat, while we're talking terrible fan bases, I want to get this off my chest about the Jets. I live in New York, so whenever the Jets.
Oh, I don't know why you're still a Jets fan.
Well, I'm not a Jets fan, but I live amongst them.
No, I know you're not, but I'm just saying, like, in general. Like, I don't even know why you're still a Jets fan.
And all I hear is, you know, Rex Ryan is a bad coach, and he might be. Oh, but look at the talent they've given the guy to win games with. He went from Mark Sanchez to Geno Smith, and he's expected to win games.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they want him to put back there. Like, he can only put someone back there if the Jets sign him.
Exactly. You play with the guys that you give, and the guys are shit. And if they're shit, guess who you blame? You blame the general manager. That's all.
Yeah,
like,
you don't,
like,
you don't blame
Brady, like, Brady, you'll understand, Brady, when Donovan McNabb was in his prime on the Eagles, the guy never had anybody to throw to. And people got mad at him. It's like, no, I'm throwing to trash. What do you want me to do? It's
Hold on, Donovan McNabb
was
also bad.
I agree. The only great year that Donovan had statistically was the year that he had T.O.
Yeah, and then they got rid of him the next year.
You know, Derek, speaking of bad NFL coaches,
okay.
Jim Caldwell sure is doing wonders with those Lions.
Yo, well, I read an article, I believe it was on ESPN.com, and it was about guys that Peyton Manning got paid. And it had, you know, Eric Decker and all these miscellaneous receivers, and all there was Jim Caldwell, because Jim Caldwell went to a Super Bowl, and he wasn't even the coach. He just sat there and let Peyton Manning call all the plays. That's all. And now he's in Detroit, and they're finding out
yes.
that he's another Peyton Manning guy.
Well, here's the thing. Two points about this. First off, I'm not sure why Detroit thought this was a good hire. Did they not watch Jim Caldwell coach that 2-14 Colts team?
Yeah, with everybody.
Where often the Curtis Painter led Indianapolis Colts would be in contention for games late, and then somehow Caldwell would find a way to waste 30 seconds. I'm not sure if they just missed all those games. Here's the other thought. Jim Schwartz is a pudwack. And also not a very good football coach. Here's the thing. You could have, like, for the last couple of years, if you said the Lions are playing the Bills, the Lions were winning that game.
Yep.
You know why? Because they were going to throw the ball all over the damn field. And I don't care if Dagestad can't walk. They had to find someone else to throw it to.
I mean, what kind of guy wins a game, you know, the beginning of October and has his team, the defensive coordinator, have his team carry him off the field on their shoulders? What the hell?
Man with issues, Derek.
Jesus Christ.
That's funny.
I blame that game strictly on the kicker, the punter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see they fired him. He got cut.
Yeah, that was the only game he played. He got cut real quick.
No excuses.
You see what they're trying to pick up, though? They're trying to pick up the kicker from Denver. Denver just let
go. Wasn't he an alcoholic? Like, isn't that why they cut him?
Yeah.
No, he just got caught with a little too much alcohol.
Yep.
he was the number one kicker for Denver. I mean,
believe it or not, he won me some fantasy games last year. So I know all about him. But I guess, you know, when your kicker sucks, you don't care what a guy does in his off time, as long as he can kick it through the uprights on Sundays.
That's sort of how I feel about it. And, like, I personally, when you figure how many people get away with what Jason Elam did, not that I condone what he did at all, but when you figure how many people get away with that every year, that's just sort of bad luck. That's not as bad of luck as the Arizona Cardinals are having. All right, Derek, think about this. You're the Arizona Cardinals, okay? You represent their ownership and management, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner takes his team to the Super Bowl, okay? And you literally come within a Ben Roethlisberger miracle of winning the Super Bowl. Okay?
Yes.
And then Kurt Warner retires, and you realize that you have, like, John Skelton, and that's your that's your quarterbacking option. Okay? So you suffer through that for a couple of years. And then last year, you basically fall ass backwards into Carson Palmer.
You forgot about
okay?
Kevin Cobb.
Oh, yeah, he's a savior.
Yeah, so is the rest of the league.
And who was another guy? Yeah, Leinart. Matt Leinart was supposed to be the guy,
oh, yeah.
Remember? Yeah.
Yeah,
but Leinart kind of bummed around. Leinart was kind of even bummed around when Warner was there.
Sure.
So.
Well, he was his replacement.
I don't think he was ever a factor, but fine. Fine, you get Cobb. You sign Kevin Cobb after he leaves Philadelphia, and he's supposed to be this great signing, and it turns out that Kevin Cobb is sort of not good at throwing the ball. All right? So then you fall ass backwards into Carson Palmer. Okay? You miss the playoffs at 10-6. Then this year, Carson Palmer gets hurt. Oh, but wait, you have Drew Stanton, and he's magically good at football. And now Drew Stanton has a concussion.
That's just Arizona for you. Like, if I'm Larry Fitzgerald,
can they get a break?
If I'm Larry Fitzgerald, I'm burning down that stadium just so I don't have to have some loser not pass me the ball on Sunday. They ruined all of Larry Fitzgerald's prime years, other than the two Kurt Warner years. His whole prime has been ruined with a bunch of losers throwing him a football.
I know. Like I drafted Fitzgerald this year, and I'm currently trying
too.
To move him.
Me too, and nobody wants him from me. I think he had one decent game. Nobody wants him, and that's a shame. I feel bad.
Here, you want to know what's bad? You know, I don't know what's bad. I walked away from this, okay? Because I'm in a league where receptions and touchdowns are really, really important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I walked away from this trade. I had a guy say, "I'll give you Eddie Lacy for Larry Fitzgerald."
What?
And I said, no, thank you.
I know what your answer was. You said, no, thank you. This is 2006, and Eddie Lacy isn't in the NFL yet.
He's still in high school.
Right. Like, what the hell?
Wow. That's terrible.
I know.
By the way, God bless Andre Ellington. I mean, he is like, that guy's
yes.
a real.
Yes.
No, I'll tell you what. God bless Ben Tate. Because if it wasn't for Ben Tate, I'd be looking at a 2-3 record.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas, he single-handedly won my game this past week because Matthew Stafford gave me nothing. He gave me nothing at all.
Oh, I know, right? I know. Right? Yet another week. I'm up to like 4 weeks in a row where I have chosen incorrectly between Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins. Whichever one I leave on the bench, that's the dude who's going to have a better game.
Yeah, I'm starting to hate fantasy football. I'm starting to hate it so bad.
Oh, I'm hating it too. Derek, this week I leave Larry Fitzgerald, Kelvin Benjamin, and Doug Baldwin on my bench, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to know the other Now, I have a receipt. We play two receivers in a flex position. Now, my flex position, I had A.J. Green, and that worked out okay for me. Do you want to know what two receivers I started?
Who?
I started Victor Cruz and Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh.
And I got four. Count them, 4 points out of those two.
Like my brother drafted Adrian Peterson kind of high, and like he's been on a rampage like for the past month or so. He's just pissed off that he wasted one of his top picks on Adrian Peterson. Like this year has been completely wacky.
Oh, I know, Derek. So I drafted, right? I mean, I drafted Stafford. He was my second pick. All right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we had a snake draft, and I drafted like ninth out of 12 teams or some shit like that. Like eight or nine out of 12 teams, somewhere like kind of in that middle toward the back end. And so, you know, I picked up A.J. Green first, and then on the back end through, I picked up Stafford. Do you know how many times subsequently I passed on Phillip Rivers?
Oh, and me too. And he might be the MVP.
Like five.
I passed like
five times on Phillip Rivers. Do you want to know what I did to get for my initial backup quarterback? Do you know what I did?
Ooh.
With my absolute last pick, I took Alex Smith. That's right, Derek. I passed up on Phillip Rivers five times so that I could eventually take Alex Smith and waive him for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, man. Yeah, fantasy football is breaking my heart this year. Last year I had a pretty good year because I think I had A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson. I don't think anybody saw A.J. Green coming, and this year both of them were gone. I think my first pick was Brandon Marshall. Now his ankle, like, has blown up on him, and he can't catch a football. So, Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Derek, I'm the defending champion in my league. I have to make a showing here. Now,
you
granted, last
gotta,
year...
You at least got to make the playoffs, at least.
Now, here's the thing. Well, it's only top four make the playoffs.
Okay.
Top two from each division. But...
It's baseball.
Okay, now, Derek, I'll admit, last year I had it pretty easy. First off, I had Peyton Manning. That was a pretty nice way to... That was a pretty nice way to... Oh, wait, no, this gets better. This gets better. I also had Shady McCoy.
Oh, you won right there. Those two right there is really all you need.
Yes, and I had the Arizona Cardinals turnover-laden defense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You just plug people in.
Yes. I just sort of filled the rest of my roster out with bums, and my God, did I have some bums. I had, like, God, no, who did I have? I had, like, it wasn't Riley Cooper. It wasn't Jeremy Maclin. Who was acting as, like, the Eagles' fourth wide receiver? I had him. And then, like, I had a random, and then I had, like, a random Redskins wide receiver. I think at one point Carl Pickens made his way onto my roster. But, yeah, I mean, I had...
Was it like
so, yeah, between those three, something like that. Yeah, something like it might have been Baskin. That sounds right. I don't know, though. Anyway.
Baskin. <basket. laughs>
Yeah. But, okay, like, all right, I knew this year would be harder. First off, I didn't get to draft Peyton Manning. And then, like just because of where I was drafting, I knew that I was going to end up, there were a lot of guys I just wasn't going to have a shot at.
Yeah.
Man, this is hard.
Yeah, I had a fairly high pick last year. This year I was second to last pick, and, like, almost everybody was going. And they were going fast, too. And I passed on DeMarco Murray only because I thought he's going to be injured by week six. Like, he's going to get hurt. And now the guy's the leading rusher in the NFL.
Sure. But you know what, though?
Yeah,
I can speak for this. I mean, being a former fantasy champion, there's no worse feeling in the world than putting together, like, an incredible team and then, like, the next year having your whole team, like, dismantled right in front of you before you even get your first pick.
Exactly.
It's the worst.
Yep, that's what happened to me.
It's the worst.
And they're just flying off. I'm like, damn it.
2 years ago, I was in a double quarterback league. You have to start two quarterbacks. I took
that's
Aaron
terrible.
Rodgers the first pick. And all the way back on the other side, I got Peyton Manning coming off of a neck injury. I had the two best quarterbacks in the year. The next year, I drafted third overall. Wouldn't you know it, both my quarterbacks were gone.
Yeah, it's a copycat lead. Like, that's what I hate, and it sucks.
You know, I'll tell you what's frustrating is when you have a guy who's, like, probable, and you check on Thursday. Like, you check on Thursday, because if you have a guy who's playing Thursday and, you know, the guy's going to be out, you might want to slot the Thursday guy in. And you see that the guy's been practicing all week. And so you say, okay, that's fine. And then on Friday, it still says that he's probable. And then Saturday, he's still probable. And it's looking like he'll start. And you say, great. And so you leave this Bengals wide receiver in. And then...
I think you were talking about Roddy White.
No. And then Sunday comes around, and this particular Bengals wide receiver who wears the number 19, he takes the field for one play. And then he walks away. And you say... You say, really?
Nothing to prove. You got nothing to prove, Ray.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't
play,
be a hero.
Live to play another week.
Live to play. Let's, I'm trying to break this.
I'm actually, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm actually trying to get DeMarco Murray right now. Now, see, the guy who has DeMarco Murray in my league, he's this kind of guy who, like, really wants to be smarter than everyone else. All right?
Okay.
We sort of have this kind of, like, it's almost like this strange rivalry between he and I. Like, he would always, he would always talk smack about the degree that I was getting, and then I got a job first, and so I made fun of him for not having any money. It's just that sort of thing. So he's always out to, like, prove that he is the smartest guy in the room. So I have proposed a trade, and he's got, like, nothing at wide receiver, right? I think he's gotten a total of, like, this is a league where if your receivers are productive, you're getting between 15 and 25 points a week per receiver.
Okay.
And he might have, like, 130 points total from all his receivers. He's got, like, nothing.
Jesus.
Okay? So I have proposed to send me DeMarco Murray. And in return, I will give him Larry Fitzgerald and Roy Helu.
Okay, well, Larry Fitzgerald isn't going to help him get to 200 anytime soon.
Here's my hope. My hope is that he says, I want to prove that I'm smarter than Ray and prove that I know Carson Palmer will be back. And so he takes it. Because I have so much. First off, if I make this trade, I don't lose either way. Because I have so many. Here's my receivers. You ready for this? I have Victor Cruz, Calvin Benjamin, AJ Green, Reggie Wayne, Andre Hawkins, and Doug Baldwin. And then also Larry Fitzgerald. I'm loaded. So, even if he takes the trade and Palmer comes back, what do I care? I'll just plug someone else in who can get me four receptions and a touchdown every week.
Yeah, you know, even if Palmer comes back, I don't think Fitzgerald's going to magically get separation anymore. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, he's a three guy on the team now. Like, there's games where he has like two catches and that's it.
He'll end up being like a tight end in like Pittsburgh next year.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, basically, I mean, he's going to be a slot guy.
How much are you guys enjoying the Pittsburgh Steelers being bad at football?
Oh, I love it because I hate Steelers fans, so I'm enjoying every minute of it.
The combination of the Steelers being terrible and the Browns having promise. To me,
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Because I like the Browns. I have always felt bad for their fan base. And I always find myself pulling for them enough that, like, I kind of admit that I'm sort of a Browns fan.
I'm just happy they're winning without Johnny Manziel, because the more they win, the longer he sits on the bench, and I'm fine with that.
Well, you know what? And I kept telling people this at the start of the year. In case you forgot, before Brian Hoyer got hurt last year, it wasn't a bad little team.
Yeah, they were playing good football. He was winning games for them.
Yeah.
Sort of like he did this week.
Yep.
It's amazing how that works.
He did have at least one more weapon, though. So.
He comes back, that weapon. He comes back. I mean, they're just that much better.
Yeah.
They can easily win that division. Very winnable division.
And they'll be
smoking. Yeah, that's not a good division.
Yeah. I hate to break this up. Let's take a break. We've been doing some lights out, but we'll come back. We'll wrap things up. I was able to take advantage of this time, and I was able to target one former TNA alumni in particular, Ray, that I really am excited. I'm hoping he's going to get back to me. I'm talking about, what's his moniker? His moniker is the Screaming Climax.
What?
He came out in 2004.
That's a good year for it. Well, we should explain. Hang on. Let's take a break, and then we'll explain to Derek what we've been doing in his absence.
Well, sure, yeah. Okay. And I'll give you more details on the Screaming Climax on the other side as well. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, vocnation.com, zbradyhicks.com. On the other side, the lights on. Oh, wrong one. See, I'm not used to being the producer and doing this. On the other side, we'll talk some TNI alumni. We'll do some lights out, all that stuff. Brady Ray, Derek Wayne, we're all here. 855 VOC Radio. That's 855-862-7234. We'll see you on the other side.
Right here, right now, you better recognize that I am down with the VOC Nation. Recognize that.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday or call live toll-free at 1-855-VOC-RADIO.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not.
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation at 7 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
The godless voice of Crab Nation. None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Park the car keys.
To Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker. Catch the crowds on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Entertainment with an attitude.
Fear is just one enemy.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Woo! How lucky can one guy be?
Play it, baby.
Kiss me.
Do that.
Ain't but a kick in the hand.
Do 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 do.
Go back to all my classic stuff, you know, my Dean Martin.
Neil Brady, all the between the fact that there's still Steel Panther in here and that awful music that you hit accidentally right before we went off the air, all that does is remind me that I really need to send you the stuff to update the bumper stuff for this show.
Sure, but you don't have a problem with the theme that we use, do you? I always like that song.
I think it sort of sucks, but hey, it's your show,
oh,
man.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Dude. I'm just here.
Ouch. We're talking over the break, and you know, we were talking about TNA alumni and stuff like that. I definitely want to ring on the screaming, not that we're screaming orgasm, the screaming climax. Screaming climax, Derek Kigler. He is perfection. He debuted in 2004 in TNA. Apparently he did other indie work, which is much different than a lot of other guys on that Wikipedia list. So hopefully the screaming climax will be coming on the show very soon. And I won't cut him
short.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I figured you did a bit.
So that's where we are. Ray, you had something else you were saying, didn't you? And I'm drawing a total blank right now.
No, I was saying that we should tell Derek about what we've been doing in his absence.
Oh, okay. Well, check, we did that.
We did that.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling it, and you know, thanks for checking us out this weekend. No, I don't know. Anything for Lights Out? You know, I was going to give a scumbag somebody. Derek, I was telling them before we went on the air, somebody actually took a pair of cutters to my cable outside, an act of vandalism that caused me to miss Raw this week.
Lucky bet. Okay.
I was going to give them scumbag, but in light of like the reports that I got, unless like I really wanted to catch The Rock making fun of Rusev, like maybe the guy wasn't such a scumbag. Maybe the guy was like a humanitarian.
he did
me a favor.
He did you a favor.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh.
I didn't even know Kathy Lee was still around. How is it that cockroach was able to outlast Regis Philbin?
Jeez, Brady. I don't know. That Raw show was terrible. I mean, and then you know, they're doing the whole breast cancer thing. They had a woman come out, and I assume she's famous. I've never heard of her. But the woman comes out, and she gives this heartfelt speech about Savat. She's going to beat breast cancer, and it just brought me down. Like, I was damn near in tears. I was like, God damn it. Like, it was too much going on. Before we go, I guess Raw is suffering from, you know, Daniel Bryan being gone and Roman Reigns not being there. I'm hoping when those guys come back, it'll get better. Usually a lot of these shows suck, but I have a feeling it's not going to get well until around Royal Rumble time.
You know what they need, right?
What do they need, Britt?
You know what they need. You know what they need.
No, I don't. What do they need? No, they don't.
You know, I have, in that vein, Derek, I have a general scumbag for us. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
All right. So, it's October, and that means that everything on the NFL field and uniform looks like it's been covered in Pepto Bismol.
Okay.
And the WWE, they are all about the breast cancer awareness. Here's the thing. People who are still doing this, I could not possibly be more aware of breast cancer if I had it.
Ray. Come on.
No. Dear God. How much more aware of breast cancer? How much more depressed do I have to be because other people have cancer?
Oh, it's so depressing. But like I said, that woman on Raw, and She did a great job. It's an amazing show, but man, it brought me down. Like, I was like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, look, it makes me mad enough that the NFL has decided it needs to set the tone for this country's social views. That aggravates me enough, Derek, because you and I, there's something related to that with the NFL that you and I very strongly disagree on.
Yes.
Like the fact that the NFL has decided it's going to cave to that nonsense, that aggravates me enough. But then on top of that, sometimes I don't know what I'm watching. Am I watching a football game? Am I watching a PSA for breast cancer? I don't know. Why can't they go out onto the field in their normal uniforms with the normal field, and then they play the game, and then they go home? Why does it have to be this big thing? At some point, I can't become more aware of breast cancer. And I have reached that point. Do they think is unaware of breast cancer?
It's kind of a – I felt so bad saying this. It's kind of like, you know, when WWE does the whole, you know, dreams come true thing, and it's a wonderful thing they do. I hope they keep doing it. But I feel like a lot of it is like, hey, look at us. Look what we're doing. Pat us on the back. I feel like it's a lot of that in it, too.
I think it's ridiculous that the NFL has decided that it needs to be at the forefront of our social conscience. I mean, for God's sake, as much as I enjoy football, when you get down to it, it's a bunch of dudes on steroids hitting each other in the head.
Oh, well, yeah, that's very apparent. I always tell people, James Harrison, if you ever see him in person, he looks like he's a CGI-created character in, like, a superhero movie. He doesn't look human. And you don't get like that by lifting a lot of weights. He's had a lot of chemical help. A lot of it.
Yeah, like Guru or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, he's scary. Yeah, he's like, what the hell are you?
He's almost got the green skin. Like, that's how bad he is.
Yeah, I just... and like I said, Derek, the other thing that the NFL has decided it's going to start caving to, I think, is ridiculous, and you and I very strongly disagree on it.
I mean, at least we got a funny South Park episode out of it. So
I'll tell you what made that episode genius level, and South Park was able to do it because they do the episode in a week.
Oh, I know what you mean.
It was that they substituted Kirk Cousins for RG3.
Yeah, they switched the heads, yeah.
That was awesome.
That's funny.
Well, you know what? I actually had a scumbag of the week, and it is wrestling related, believe it or not. We were talking about CM Punk earlier, and I don't know if you guys heard this story, but he showed up at an Ohio Valley show backstage last weekend, mostly just to visit some friends. Cliff Compton won their title. He's one of Punk's best friends, so, you know, Punk was there or whatever. But the real scumbag is whoever it is that promotes Ohio Valley Wrestling, because I'm not talking about the fans here. I'm talking about the locker room. He said that CM Punk was going to be coming in to visit some friends, and that everyone was under specific orders to stay away from him and not talk to him and not bother him.
Wow.
See, that's freaking important that you're not allowed to go say hi to the guy.
Yeah,
like
right?
He literally talked to Rick Rogers, he talked to Cliff Compton, and he left with Cliff.
But
he said, I guess he sat in another room. I don't even know.
You hear stories about him being a dick, and, like, you kind of don't want to believe it, but I've yet to hear anybody except his friends say he's a good guy. Like, you never hear anybody say, you know, he's a good guy, and for him to do that, and wasn't he in OVW before he came to WWE? Like, isn't that where they kind of like built him up at?
Yeah,
he's an asshole.
And that's my thing is, like, you know, sure, you don't want to be bothered. I mean, that's fine. Like, you don't, but we're not talking about we're going to throw you in front of the fans. We're talking about, like, boys in this locker room, a locker room that you came up in, trained by the same guy that you were trained by, Rip Rogers, and you're telling people not to talk to you, not to bother you? Like, how much more big time can you get? Like, how much of a bother is it to walk up and shake somebody's hand and say you're an inspiration to me or something like that? That's not a bother. And at this point in his career, he's not going to do WWE stuff. That's fine. But, you know, you can sort of get back in other ways.
And he's the guy that was complaining about the part-time guys coming in and thinking they're bigger than other people. And here he is, big time in other guys. And in this business, you should be careful who you're an asshole to, because let's say he wants to return to WWE 3 years from now, and one of those guys from that OVW locker room is a big name in WWE, and now he has problems with that person, and that probably blocks him from going back to the company. Like, you shouldn't be assholes to people, because you never know who you're going to need on the way back up.
You know, every time I hear a story about CM Punk being a dick, which is pretty much every day, for those of you who have never looked at CM Punk's Twitter account, go read that for a little while, and you'll have enough evidence.
I've read some of his tweets. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Every time I hear a story about how he conducts himself, I always walk away saying the same thing. The story about there being a mental health crisis in this country is true. There's just got to be something on a brain level. There's got to be something wrong.
I mean, he's the only guy I know who in one breath was complaining because he wasn't the top guy in the company and he could never beat John Cena. But then you hear reports about him getting upset because people recognize him in the street and he can't do normal things. It's like, guy, you can't have one and have you both at the same time. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Right. Go wrestle for TNA if that's what you want.
Exactly. Bound for glory.
Bound for Japan.
There you go. I think we're done for this week. In fact, I just got the confirmation in my ear that we're done for this week. We're just wrapping it up right now. I don't know if you guys heard, but joining us next week on the show, I think he's going to be semi-regular as a co-host with us, the maestro of wrestling, the Stro, with Rub Raw now, guys. So we have the Stro joining in the room. Should be interesting. I feel like we're going to have to watch what we're saying now, though, and I am a little concerned about that. Because,
yeah, I don't think that'll be well. I don't think that'll go over well. Mostly pretty much everything I say. I don't think that will go over well. Those of you who were not aware, the hosts of Rub Raw pretty much all expressed that they had no interest in doing the show anymore.
Right.
We all did.
It's a lengthy commitment. I mean, it's a three-hour show that you have to sit down and watch, and then it's too much, and it's too late. And, like, so, you know what? I'm sure down the line we'll be increasing our coverage at some point. Maybe we'll get some more schmucks that want to sit up and do that or whatever. But until then, on behalf of Wayne, Derek, Ray, myself, we will be back next week. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. Go check us out, vocnation.com. Go download the Gabby Gilbert interview, former Roxy Todd, and she's incredible. We'll see you guys next week.